This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
You're listening to a Joycast from GLBTIQ community radio station, Joy 94.9.
Good afternoon. My name is Tim Nicholson. Welcome to Fender Bender on Joy 94.9 for another week. A big thanks to the wonderful Alan Ross for Cafe Latte, which will, of course, be back next week at the same time. Thank you very much, Alan. Now, we are back for our second enormous week of lots of car news, interviews, information that is both useful and reasonably useless. We try to do both of those things here on Fender Bender, just for your listening pleasure. And we've got quite a bit on today. We've got news. We're also interviewing the wonderful Wes Snelling, cabaret artiste, about his motoring escapades, which some are quite embarrassing, which is lovely for us to listen to. So thanks to him for coming in. And also we're having a bit of a chat about hot hatches and some other things later in the show. So thanks for joining us. Don't forget, you can follow us on Twitter, FenderBenderJoy, or if you want to text in, you can do that on 0427JOY949, call in 1300JOY949, or email in on air at joy.org.au. We would really, really love to hear from you. Obviously, we want this to be a bit of an interactive show, so if you've got any questions or feedback or you want more information from a segment that we've had on, or you just want to know which one of us is a better driver, then just let us know and we can all tell you that it's me. Or maybe not. Also, a big thanks to everyone last week who texted in about the Australian International Motor Show. We ran out of time to get back to have a bit of a chat about that. But thanks for your nominations of what awesome cars people saw at the show. We'll try and get onto that a bit more this week. So we're back. We're here. First of all, I'm going to introduce our wonderful panel. Welcome back, first of all, to the lovely and talented motoring journalist extraordinaire, Mike Costello. Mike, thanks for being here.
Not a problem at all, Tim. Thanks for having me.
And how's your week been?
Busy as always. Plenty happening in the world of motoring.
Of course, of course. Has it calmed down a bit, though, since the motor show has ended?
It has. In the Aussie industry, Australian Motor Show time is the busiest week of the year. So it's been a welcome reprieve, but there's always plenty happening.
That's true. So you're not sitting back drinking beer and smoking cigarettes in the office?
Wish I was, but no. Well, unfortunately not.
One day soon they'll change the laws again. And look, welcome to, for a first time, popping his Fender Bender cherry is the wonderful Jeremy. Jeremy, thanks for joining us.
No, the pleasure is all mine. Thank you. Sorry for missing last week.
No, not at all. Don't be silly.
And I am going to apologise up front for today as well.
Why?
Just in case, you know, I don't make any sense, but I'm going to try my best.
That's right. Jeremy always makes sense. He's very gifted. You're a bit multi-talented, actually. You're a bit of a musician.
Multi-talented, but I can only do one thing at a time.
Well, you are a boy.
Yes.
I think that's how it goes. We're only capable of that.
Yeah.
Yes.
So, yes, I am a musician as well. A bit of a jack of all.
Yeah. A jack of all trades. What's your band?
The Blow Waves, which is known here at Joy.
They've
given us lots of support. So it's interesting to be in the studio for a different reason.
It's good to have you here for that reason as well.
Oh, thanks, Tim.
What do you do in that band? Are you the drummer?
Yes, I am. So, the one that sits up the back.
Hanging out.
Yeah, can't feed a family, that kind of thing. Yeah, that joke.
Look, who needs to do that, though, you know?
That's why I have to work during the day as well.
And, yeah, so tell us about that. What is your profession?
Okay, well, my background is when I was a little 16-year-old and, you know, ran out of school going, you know, it wasn't for me. And thought, yeah, I really like cars, I'm going to go and become a mechanic. And if I can give any advice, don't do it. It's a terrible job.
Is it?
But where I am now, I wouldn't be able to be where I am now without that background. So
okay.
I got into management. So I'm in service management in the auto industry with in a dealership.
Okay, so, no more overalls and, you know,
no
oily hands.
No,
no,
that's very much a thing of the past.
Do you miss that?
Not at all.
Okay.
Not at all. And yeah, I still get roped into bits and pieces here and there.
Yeah. Friends.
Actually, it turns out, here's a funny story for you, Tim, if I can take up a little bit more time. Did you hear the angle grinder going? Because for everybody who doesn't know, Tim's actually my neighbour.
It's true. We are next door neighbours.
Yeah.
Well,
You've put it before, gabers.
Yeah. It's true.
But yeah, I was out there very reluctantly the other night with an angle grinder at about 9 o'clock at night because I had to help my brother out on his trailer.
Oh,
so yeah, I still
God.
Get roped into it.
I did not hear that. And really? I'm happy that I didn't. No, I know it wouldn't have mattered, of course. Yeah. But yeah, I imagine that would be a profession where you do get kind of get roped into doing all
definitely.
That kind of stuff.
Yeah, so I don't tell anybody anymore.
Yeah, that's probably a good idea.
Yeah.
So Mike, are you any good under the bonnet, Mike? Or are you...
I'm hopeless. It's a bit of a secret shame. I should be better than I am, I think. But no, yep. I've got no idea whatsoever.
Oh, wow. Can you change a tyre?
Oh, I can do that. I can do the basics, oil changes, tyre changes and things, but...
That's what RACV is for.
Well,
it's an interesting point you make.
Yeah. Mm. I'm a bit the same. I don't know. This is a bit terrible. That well, you know, two of us aren't that great. I'm the same. I open the bonnet of a car and I might know what the engine capacity is and all that kind of stuff, but I would have no idea what actually happens.
I do the sort of mock blokey thing. I stand there and I point at it and I make a serious face and I pretend that I know what I'm doing,
yep.
but I really don't.
Look, that takes talent in itself, I think. But look, yeah, a couple of us on the panel, you know, there'll be a few different people throughout our time with the show, and some of us are gay, straight, bi, tie, you know, we're everything here at Joy. And I think, I don't know if anyone else found that, but when if you're a gay person that's really interested in cars, people are really shocked at that. And I kind of cop that quite a bit when people first meet me and they're like, but you're gay, you can't be into cars. It's like, actually, you can kind of do whatever you want.
Yeah, I think that's a really good point.
Yeah.
I know it might be a cliche thing to say, but yeah, it's about knowing your own identity and not having to identify with anything else.
Yeah.
So you can be, you can be gay and...
Yeah. Do you ever, like, especially as a mechanic, I mean, that's a pretty blokey kind of job and I imagine a fairly male-dominated industry.
Oh, yeah, totally.
How does that go down? No pun intended. sorry.
Yeah, look, great, but I think it's partly the way that I carry myself as well.
Mm.
But I don't know. But yeah, it's fine. And you know, like I don't put it out there and I don't hide it either.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it's never been an issue.
Yeah. And I imagine so. With motoring journalism, are there many, like, what's the diversity like in that kind of industry, right?
Look, it did surprise me. As a straight guy myself, I was very aware of the stereotypes, I suppose, and it always puzzled me. Then going into the industry, I mean, there are several motoring journos I know who are gay, and I think it's all really a bit of a fallacy that, you know, you have to be one or the other. You can't.
Yeah.
It strikes me as very odd, and you know, I think my industry has really, really shown that to me.
That's good. Many women?
Not a huge amount.
Mm.
I mean, there are a couple floating around, but no, it does seem to be a fairly male-heavy industry.
Okay, ladies, you heard it. Mike is looking for some ladies in the industry.
A bit of diversity, come
on. Yes, exactly. That's right. Get on board. But look, speaking of stereotyping, we here at Fender Bender, one of our aims is to find the gayest car of all time. Now, look... You know, we might get attacked for that, but that's fine. That's what we're about. We're about being controversial, and cars can be gay. They can sound gay. They can look gay. They can smell gay. They might have a gay name. Honda Jazz, pretty gay name. Just putting it out there. But we want to hear from you, dear listener, and we want you to let us know what you think is the gayest car of all time. We're taking nominations now by text or email, so that's 0427JOY949. Of course, you can call in 1300-JOY-949 or email onair@joy.org.au. Maybe a bit of an explanation as to why you might think this car is gay. Is it the shape? colour. Well, not colour, that doesn't really matter because that could be anything. But we will be collating your answers, and at the end of the show today, we will put forward a nomination of a gay car that will go into a bit of an awards ceremony down the track where we will name the gayest car of all time. So get your votes in, text us, email us, get on to us. Boys, any kind of nominations there for gay cars?
I feel like I ought to tread a little bit carefully here, but I suppose one that springs to mind would be the Peugeot 206 CC, the steel-roofed cabriolet coupe.
Is that the new one?
It's been around for a little while, and it might be a subjective personal.
Oh, no, thing. I know the one you're talking about, yes.
But I think I'd have to throw the hat into the ring for that particular model.
Yeah. Sporty little number.
Yes. It tries to be.
Yeah.
I would have to say a little joke in the workshop, in workshops in general, is the SLK Mercedes is the hairdresser's car.
Yes. Yeah. I've rarely seen a masculine man driving an SLK, let's be honest.
Sam goes for the BMW Z3. Same
sort of thing. And generally, no hair as well.
No. Ironic for hairdressers. That's a bit alarming. Look, for my money, I'm thinking the bubble-shaped Mazda 121, but I do have a few, so we'll hear from you guys, the listeners, and we would be really keen to find out what you think. Text in 0427JOY949. You're listening to Fender Bender.
Point nine. Shake it like a ladder to the sun. Makes me feel like a madman on the run.
That was the Yeah Yeah Yeahs with Zero there. You were listening to Fender Bender on Joy 94.9. Now, we've had a few people text in about what they think might be the gayest car of all time. Pete has texted in and suggested a very good one, a RAV4. Comments, guys, what do we think? I think that's a pretty good...
In three-door form especially, I think, yeah. I think that's a very good point that he makes.
That's true. They don't do a hard top version. No, soft top, do they?
I think they used to, not anymore. Okay. I think at one stage there was.
Yeah. Well, that's good. Thank you very much for that, Pete. And we've also... Bolo has texted in and suggested an Audi TT.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah. That's beautiful-looking car, but yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, but I can agree with that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I think, Mike, you were saying the same class as, like, the SLK, the
Z3. Is.
That same sort of stereotype. Yeah. The hairdresser car, the sort of poser car, I think. Yeah.
And we're all about stereotypes, aren't we?
That's right. We were just talking about we weren't, and now we are. Oh, look, we don't know what we're doing. But, look, keep texting in with your ideas for gayest car of all time, and we will decide which one will go forward this week. Now, a lot has happened, as Mike mentioned earlier in this week, in Motoring News. And he's just going to tell us all about it right now. Mike, what's happening?
Okay, well, final crowd numbers from the recent Australian International Motor Show are in, and it was a biggie. 193,755 punters filled into Jeff's shed for Melbourne's first major show since 2009, a 39% increase on last year's show in Sydney.
And General Motors has confirmed that its Australian arm Holden will again be involved in the design of the next generation Chevrolet Camaro, due to enter production around 2014. It is unclear at this stage exactly what Australia's contribution to the global project will be, but it further raises the prospect that the iconic model could be available in right-hand drive markets, including Australia, next time around. The current iteration of the legendary American muscle car, which was partially developed in Australia by a team of Holden designers and engineers, is lighting up the American sales chart this year. Chevy sold nearly 49,000 Camaros in the US in the first half of 2011, comprehensively outgunning its longtime arch foe, the Ford Mustang.
Well, fans of the cheap and cheerful hot hatch rejoice. The wild-looking Suzuki Swift S-Concept, which was displayed in lurid canary yellow at the recent Melbourne show, is set to morph into the next-generation sport version of the Japanese brand's dinky light car. Reports suggest that under the skin, which itself looks likely to remain faithful to the brawny concept, they will sit a 100-kilowatt naturally aspirated inline 4, matched to either a 6-speed manual or a paddle-shift-controlled automatic. While these power figures seem to fall short of setting the world ablaze and lag behind super compact rivals like the Volkswagen Polo GTI, it will have no trouble punting a featherweight contender such as this along at a swift clip. Suzuki's new small car performance flagship will be the first three-door Swift sold in Australia when and if it arrives here sometime in 2012, priced somewhere around the 24K mark. In lighter news out of the UK, stunt driver Terry Grant has achieved a claimed two-wheeled record on the famous hill climb at the recent Goodwood Festival of Speed, only he didn't set the time on a motorcycle. The acclaimed stunt performer instead navigated a Nissan Juke compact SUV over the tricky mile-long course entirely on the driver's side front and rear wheels, achieved by way of a sharp ramp and a boatload of skill and finesse. But the incredible achievement, clocked in at 2 minutes and 55 seconds, seemingly wasn't enough for the British showman, who proceeded to complete the course four more times, with passengers, including F1 star Lewis Hamilton's dad, Anthony. And that, boys and girls, is the news for the week.
Thank you, Mike. Well, that is a bit bizarre. Why did he... Why? Was that just a... Is it a kind of a promotional thing for that car?
Why not? I've seen footage, and it's an incredible... He drove this one-mile-long course on just entirely two wheels. It was amazing.
Wowzers.
It takes a lot of skill. I don't know how you do that, but extremely impressive.
Well. Is that a four-wheel drive?
It is. It's a sort of very, very small four-wheel drive.
Yeah.
Only available in the UK, I think.
At the moment. It looks a bit strange. Remember,
it's a very alien-looking car.
Yes. If you get a chance out there, Google Nissan Juke. They're very proud of it, and it's a very odd-looking beast. But good to hear those numbers for the motor show. I mean, we're outgunning Sydney. Why is that? What's happening there?
It's, I think, the mid-year time slot. First of all, it's cold, so it's a good winter activity. You take the family out, it's warm in the convention centre.
Mm.
But also, because it's July, there are no other motor shows at that time of year around the world.
Yep.
So carmakers bring their wacky and wild concepts out to Melbourne. The Sydney show is later in the year, so it has to compete with other shows. And in the grand scheme of things, Australia isn't a big enough market to really justify it.
Yeah. Jeremy, did you get to the motor show this year? Or
no, I haven't been for a long time, actually. Because I guess because I work with cars every day, yeah, it's not something I really do in my spare time.
Yeah.
Car overload.
Yeah, it is, yeah. You know, and it's like that with anybody who, you know, what they do during the day generally isn't what they want to do outside of work. But I went many years ago, and I also worked on the motor shows for quite a while as well. So
yeah, right.
I know all about it.
Yeah.
I know all the backstage stuff as well.
Oh, and it's massive. Well, it's a production, isn't it? It's just walking in there. I had to meet my friend there, and I walked for about 3 kilometres before I got to the first entrance. It's bonkers.
Incredible, yeah.
So it's obviously doing really well, and, you know, maybe that's something we'll just steal from Sydney. You know, why not?
Add it to the list. Why not? Why not?
There's a few. Why not? And the Camaro. So new Camaro, a bit of Holden input. It's a bit exciting.
Yeah, I mean, there's not a whole lot confirmed just yet. There was input. General Motors is an international company, so there's always input from different countries, and Australia is one of those, and we'll wait to see what that input actually is, but it's certainly, if it happens, a very exciting thing for Holden to have happen to them.
Yeah, especially if they're killing the Mustang. Obviously, that's been a rivalry going back generations. And the current shape Camaro, which you can see in those reasonably dreadful Transformers movies that are also kind of awesome at the same time.
Gotta love cross-promotion.
It's incredible. It's basically funded by General Motors, that movie, it seems. It's quite funny. But the Camaro, the yellow Camaro, I think it's played... Bumblebee is the Transformer. It's That's pretty much cute. The star of the movie, like more than...
Well, I think it's a better actor than Shia LaBeouf anyway, so it's probably a good move on the part of the director.
That's true. I think that car has outshone Megan Fox as well. It's probably why she got the boot, that and the fact that she probably isn't the greatest actor. But anyway, look, we're not here to discuss that. But that is a bit exciting for Australian motoring industry, and I think Holden have had a bit of input into a few global cars, so it'd be good if they can kind of keep that up and keep a bit of manufacturing and production here. But we'll see how we go. Now, we've had a few more people text in about the gayest car. Scott from Blackburn, thank you, Scott. Hyundai Getz.
Yeah, that's up there.
That's up there. That's a good one. I like that. Bert has suggested a Land Rover Freelander. Every bear and his dog has a Land Rover Freelander. You're right. I think also the Jeep Wrangler is in that category. And that's a bit exciting. So we've got quite the list happening now.
Yeah, I think Freelanders, at least it's got a little bit of edge to it, though.
Yeah.
It's not blatantly gay.
No, and it can go actually off-road, I believe. Yeah. So, yes, so we're building a bit of a list there. But yes, now coming up next, we are having a bit of an interview with the wonderful Wes Snelling. You are listening to Fender Bender on Joy 94.9. You are listening to Fender Bender on Joy 94.9, arguably the gayest car show on the planet, if not just Melbourne, but that's fine. Now, every couple of weeks, we are going to have special guests in to talk about their motoring history, regardless of whether they're petrol heads or not. And tonight, we are very lucky indeed, to have the one and only man diva of Melbourne Cabaret, Wes Snelling, in the studio. Wes, thanks for joining us.
No, look, I'm lucky just to get out of the house.
Oh, really?
You know?
Has it been a while?
It's been a while. I've been stuck inside eating hash browns and on my little computer. It's nice to get out.
It is nice to get out and into the Joy Studios, the surrounds here. Well, look, we're very excited to have you here today because you're wonderful and very talented. And also, we're very keen to hear about your history as a motorist. Now, would you say you have an interest in cars, Wes?
Look, I've gone through a lot of cars. Mm-hmm. Interest in them?
Not so
much. Might be a bit iffy there. I was interested in my first car.
Yeah, tell us about that. What was that?
It was a Volkswagen Beetle, a gorgeous blue Volkswagen Beetle that brought out my eyes.
Oh.
It was wonderful. And I got it when I was 17 and I used to just drive up and down the driveway ridiculously until Dad would let me take it. You know, I got my license and Dad said, "You're allowed out now."
Okay.
And I loved it. It was just so beautiful. It had the beautiful interior blue carpet. You know, I had a CD player installed, which was worth more than the car. Literally, actually, when I sold the car, I sold it for $50. And that was how much the CD player cost at that time.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Do you remember how much you paid for it when you bought it?
Oh, wow. For some reason, about $1,200 pops up in my head. And it was quite, because this is in the country, this is up near Kyneton.
Okay.
And there was a guy that lived up in the area who just hoarded Volkswagens and had it as a hobby. And so it was great because, you know, well, in the country, it's cheaper getting cars in general.
Yes.
You know? Mm. And it was great because I'd go to him and he'd fix it. He couldn't just fix the end result of how I treated that car. Oh. No one told me to put oil in it.
Okay. Oh, dear.
No one. I was just like, oh, look, I'm in a Dodgem car. Well, wee, woo, and didn't feed
it. Weren't amazing with maintenance.
No.
Well, it sounds like you had a lot of love for the car. Did anything happen in the car? Did you have any experiences with the car?
Yeah, I had a few.
Oh.
If there wasn't a sign ever that I was a rampant homosexual, this is it. Yeah, the first time I tried to have sex with a woman, was in the back of that said Volkswagen. Nice. And, of course, the battery's under the seat. And we'd stop the car on this nice little grassed area down by the weir. We got in the back seat and started to play, and then the battery caught fire to the back seat.
Oh, God.
and I had to, it kind of ruined everything, and then I ripped the back seat out and threw it, and then we went home and I stopped having sex with women, or attempting to.
So it's almost like the Volkswagen Beetle made you gay.
It did make me gay.
Or possibly the poor love you were with at the time.
Yeah, the poor needy love that I was with at the time.
Either one of them.
Yeah.
Oh, that's exciting.
She was almost a man.
Okay, well, that's fine then. Now, is it true there's a vicious rumour going around that you owned a Datsun at one point?
A Nissan Stanza Datsun?
Yes.
I did. That is a vicious rumour. I want it rebuked.
Immediately.
Yeah, I did. But unfortunately, what happened there was, I was saving this information for my book, but I'll release it to you now. No, I was travelling actually along that intersection that goes up Punt Road, and you turn onto the freeway.
Just the southeastern?
The southeastern. And I was turning onto there, and a truck came from over that bridge and slammed into me and then dragged the car along for about 200 metres because they were doing roadworks and there was no emergency lane. Mm. And luckily, there was one bit of cement slab up the bit that I kind of squeezed into, and it saved my life. And what also saved my life was the wheel of the truck. Oh. The whole stanza was ripped apart except for the door that was next to me, the driver's side door. I was really lucky.
Wowzers.
And the beautiful thing was, it was pissing down with rain, is obviously by the time the car kind of catapulted through the cement slab, where the cement slab wasn't, I was in tears.
Yeah.
Absolutely bawling. And I jump out of the car, and there was this big, big burly road worker man just standing there.
Mm-hmm.
And he opened up his arms, and I just ran straight into his arms and hugged him.
Oh, bless.
And he was like, it's going to be okay. And the truck kept going because the truck had no idea. Well, the truck thinks it had no idea what happened. And luckily, that same man, who I'm still go to the lead, just hoping that he'll pop up, that same man just went to court and because he witnessed the whole thing and had got the truck's number plate and everything.
What a shame you can't find that man. Look, if the man is listening, please call Joy immediately, 1-300-JOY-949, because Wes is looking for you. If you hugged a squealing gay man in a stanza 10 years ago, 12
2003.
Years ago, just give us a buzz and we'll put you in touch. If you were a car, what would you be? You know what I mean?
I would be a massive Jeep.
Wow.
Maybe because I'd kind of bounce along and be really cold.
And you mean the ones without the ones with the cloth doors?
Yeah, and everything's really loud, you know, and kind of...
They're quite rugged as well.
They are rugged. They are rugged. I'd like to think I'm a little bit rugged, only because I'm wearing a flannelette right now.
It's true. You are. It's a very lovely blue for the listeners out there.
Yeah.
Yeah. And if... Now, your Auntie Tina, you're doing a show coming up next week this week for Cabaret Festival with your aunt...
Yes, I'm going to help out my aunt, Tina Del Twist.
Tina Del Twist. Now, she's very fabulous and glamorous. I've seen her before. I mean, what would she drive, do you think, if she could?
She would lose her license within about 1 hour of having a car.
Okay.
And if she were to drive, I'd love to see her in a Mini trying to get in and out of it. She would not. She would not be able to drive a car, let's face it.
It's true.
She likes to think she has a driver.
Ah.
But this is not true.
Well, thank you very much, Wes, for joining us. It's been wonderful.
So welcome. It's wanting to come on to this show for 2 years.
Oh, my God. Well, fabulous. In our second week, it is so good to have you. And Wes is performing in the Cabaret Festival. Tina Del Twist, Head Held High, is that the name?
Is the name of the show.
Can she actually lift her head?
Yeah, no. Mm. That's the premise.
Ah, I get it.
Yeah.
Wonderful. Well, yes. Thank you for joining us. It's been wonderful to have you. Stick around on Joy 94.9. You're listening to Fender Bender. That was the lovely Sarah Blasco with The Garden's End. And you are listening to Fender Bender on Joy 94.9. Now, Mike mentioned earlier in the news that Suzuki look like they are bringing back a hot hatch in the form of the Swift Sport that was at the motor show this year. And we just wanted to have a bit of a chat about the rise of hot hatches. They are huge business for motoring companies these days. And it seems like it got a bit of a boost in the 90s with Subaru's WRX. Volkswagen have got the GTI. There's Renault Megane RS. Every maker seems to have a hot hatch these days. And if you don't, you're lagging behind. Where did it all begin? Is this a new phenomenon? Did it start in the 80s? What do you guys think? Mike, what's your first memory of a hot hatch?
Well, it was a bit before my time, but I think it really began with the Volkswagen Golf GTI in, was it 76? 76 or 77. It's kind of considered to be one of the forefathers of the car, of that sort of car.
Was that the original, was that the first Golf?
That was the Mark 1.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
Was it? No, I'm not sure.
Oh, I'm 24.
I think it's a bit before all our times.
Yeah, no, but I think that the term hot hatch is really spot on, because I think that, like, all the ones that you've just mentioned, they are hot cars. Like, I've driven quite a few of them, and they're hot to drive, and you feel hot when you're in them.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a good word, isn't it? Yeah.
Definitely. But I It's a new thing. Like, I've only really started paying attention to it and seeing it recently.
I think it was big in Europe for a long time before it made the move across to other countries.
Okay.
I think it's emblematic also of... We used to be a country of just big V8s, nothing else. And it's very emblematic of this shift that's happening, this big sort of tectonic shift where we're going to much smaller, more fuel-efficient cars. And these cars are... You know, they sip fuel, and yet they're as quick as anything else. Yeah, and they're more fun to drive to boot.
Like, you know, I think it's really good... Yeah, V8s and things, and those sort of cars that you know, renowned muscle cars are becoming a thing of the past, because these little hatches and things like that are these tiny engines, are just incredible for performance, and they're economical and they're, you know, efficient and
Do you think it will, though, be... I mean, there is still, obviously, the large car market in this country has just, you know, like the sales just show how the market is changing. But do you think that will ever go away? Won't there always be a desire for people to have, like, an HSV or some big, sexy, hetero muscle car?
There will be. Interesting to note that the decline of the large cars really been in the more low-end models,
right?
The fleet-oriented models, the big hardcore HSVs and the V8 models seem to still be ticking along all right. A lot of people can justify the expense to this day.
I wouldn't look at it, and it's totally a personal opinion, but I think they're outdated now, and I wouldn't look at them and say they're hot.
No, I'd be inclined to agree with you.
I think that's yesterday now. I think these hatches are where it's at.
They're the future. The hatches of the future. Sorry, that was creepy.
Just slightly.
Just a little bit. It's funny, though, because...
I kind of like it. Yeah.
With the bigger cars, I'm a bit the same. I don't look at them with a lot of desire these days. But I had a chance to drive one a couple of years ago. A mate of mine works for Holden, and they gave him an HSV for the weekend, and it was the... I don't know if it's a GTS. I can't remember. It's a 327 kilowatt thing.
Beast.
Yes. And he threw me the keys, and I'm like, oh, I don't know about this. I'm a bit scared. And I think it was the most masculine moment of my life. It was just like this beast under me that was revving like crazy. And
big balls.
I totally felt that. Yeah. I felt big balls. I felt like a real man.
It gives you that. I can agree with that.
Especially if you have a fuel card from your company, and then it's all good.
This is the thing.
But it's good completely in that way. Yeah. I get that. But it's, definitely not. I don't think it's a future.
Yeah, no, look, I mean, if they can obviously work out ways to reduce the fuel consumption dramatically, then maybe there's a place for it. But it's also, well, do you really, if you've got a family, if you need that kind of space, do you really want that kind of car? Like a big...
Yeah, I mean, V8s are getting a lot more economical, so that is happening. But, yeah, it's a good point. I mean, these don't tend to be family-oriented cars as a rule, I wouldn't have thought.
Possibly a bit more of like an executive express, but for somebody who's a bit more of a patriot, you know, they're like, you know, I've got to buy an Aussie car, and it's going to be really fast, and I'm going to blow people off the road.
It is good. It is good to support the local car industry, though.
Yeah, definitely. You
know, we've got to hold on to what we have in this country. I think there are still a few car makers floating around, so I think it's good.
I think people that buy those, that FPVs and the HSVs, people that buy them kind of look at people that would buy like a Golf GTI or something like that. Do you think there's a bit of... How embarrassing for you? Do you think? Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, there might be a bit of a sort of argy-bargy there. I'm not sure how much, but I think they're very different cars.
Yeah.
Attracting very different people.
Yeah.
It's probably the best way to say it.
But you're right, though. You said before about the Europeans kind of, you know, surprise, surprise, the Europeans were trendsetters. The Peugeot had their, remember their little GTI?
I do, the 205, I think it was called, the original.
Little boxy little thing from, that was in the 80s, so we were all obviously far too young to remember that. Well, these two are. I'm not, whatever, that's fine. But that was a real... That and the Golf, obviously, were a real trendsetter. And interesting to see that they're still making cars like that.
Yeah, and Renault was there at the start as well. And I mean, it's like you said, those three car makers are still at the peak. You know, Peugeot, Renault and Volkswagen still make three of the better hot hatches out there. You know, I guess it goes to show you start early and you develop your skills and it only goes from there.
Definitely. Well, I mean, look, also anyone out there, if you if people have a bit of a favourite hot hatch, let us know. SMS 0427JOY949 or email onair@joy.org.au. There's so many out there. What's your favourite hot hatch?
Or if you drive a big V8 muscle car and you want to defend your choice of vehicle, send us a line as well.
Exactly. And it's funny because there's kind of nothing in between there, really, is there? Like, you know, a sporty passenger car, it's the hot hatch or your big beast, isn't it?
I mean, there are ones in the sort of higher price segments.
Well, yeah.
Your BMW 3 and 5 Series and your Audis and the Autobahn Stormers, as they're called. But, I mean, they're at a fairly high price bracket for the everyday man. I'm not so sure there is.
And they look a bit more conservative. Like an M3, you've got to get up a bit closer to see that it's a muscle machine kind of thing. Whereas obviously something like an HSV or even a GTI, it's a bit more, not leery, but you know, you can tell.
See, if I was going down the path of a V8, I'd do it with class rather than, you know, like I'd go for like an E or a C63 or something, you know, like a Mercedes, big V8, supercharged. And it's like, that's big balls.
Yeah. But fancy balls.
Fancy balls, yeah. I think that's kind of where
that's
I go with that. But
it's funny that looking at, you know, Mercedes and BMW, as you mentioned, they don't really have a hot hatch of any kind. They've just stuck with the M's and the AMGs, which are the performance arms of a 3 Series, I think is the smallest you can get. Or
they've
is it
got
the 1
Series.
The ones, yeah.
But it's hardly... They've got an M1 or a 1 Series M, but it's $100,000, so it's not exactly competing with
well,
the Golf GTI.
Exactly, because they're affordable hatches, these sports ones. Well, I think they are, for what you're getting.
Well, it's true. I mean, we're starting... What's the lowest end you're looking at, kind of like, not a Fiesta, but those kind of size of...
Yeah, well, you've got your sort of Polo GDI, 27-ish.
Yeah.
And there's a Skoda one coming out, the Fabia. The Suzuki, if it comes, will be around there.
Fabia.
You're not too impressed Fabia. With that name,
Jeremy. Is it Fabia? I'm not so sure.
No, I don't know. I've never heard of it before.
Yes,
but,
that's a bit of a flash name.
I don't really know where to go with that.
No. But it's also interesting to note because the Volkswagen Golf has had a real, like the GTI, that's been kind of the gold standard for the last few years, the last couple of models.
It had a renaissance with the last model. It had been, you know, it started to get fatter and fatter and slower, and they really brought it back into the limelight. And it's, I think it's, well, the last 5 years, it's really sort of, back in the top of the hill, or the top of the pile. There are certainly some challenges coming out, though.
Well, this is what I hear, and I think Renault, snapping at its heels.
The Megane RS.
Yep.
Yeah,
is the one.
I just took one of those out the other day, and that was really impressive.
Yeah, right.
Awesome
incredible.
Looking car as well.
They look incredible, brilliant. And you can fit people in the back of it, and just the drive of it's... Yeah,
it's got a bit of a sexy bum.
Oh, totally.
It does. Well, look, hot hatches are the go, and we all love them. But the question remains, guys, the gayest car, we heard from wonderful Wes Snelling before. Are we taking the Volkswagen Beetle as this week's...
I think his little anecdote, his story, we really can't go past it, can we?
I'm happy to support Wes. What do you think, Jeremy? Are you...
Oh, definitely. Just to hear Wes's voice was... I had a moment... you know, and I'm glad he could join us on the show.
Yeah.
But yeah, look, I'm pretty happy to go with that. I think Wes can make anything gay.
That's true. That is a good point. Well, we're going to take...
Love you, Wes.
Yes. Volkswagen Beetle is this week's gay car. We will continue this, of course, on our mission to find the gayest car of all time, and we will be asking you these questions all again next week, as well as a whole lot more. So that's us. That's Fender Bender for the week. Thank you very, very much. Stay tuned for the lovely Tim Perry and his wonderful show, Queen of the Night, which is all things opera. Then a little bit of jazz on Bent Notes with the delightful David Moyle, who has been an incredible panelist here for us for our show for the last 2 weeks. So a big thank you to David.
Absolute lifesaver.
Yes, very much so. Thank you also to Robert on the phones. And a gigantic thanks to the very handsome panel here, Mike Costello and Jeremy. Thank you so much for being here, boys.
Thank you very much
for having me, as always, Tim.
Yes, we'll hopefully see you guys next week. Don't forget to follow us on Twitter, FenderBenderJoy. We want to hear all your opinions and everything to do with motoring and other malarkey. So get tweeting, guys. That's all from us. We will catch you from 5 p.m. next Sunday, Arvo, for more FenderBender. Have a great week and safe driving.
This Joycast is a free service brought to you by Joy 94.9. Support Joy 94.9 by becoming a member at joy.org.au.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.